Torah says in by Mamre HaSinai, so the Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu after Aseres HaDibros. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, "Dabar Ato." He said, "We can't listen anymore on our own. We can't hear the Dvar Hashem on our own. Dabar Ato, you should speak to Ribbono Shel Olam. Ato Dabar Eleinu, and then you'll convey the rest of the Dvar Hashem to us. We're going to continue to hear the Dvar Hashem the way we heard in the Aseres HaDibros. We're going to continue to hear the Kol Hashem. So Vamaster, we're going to die." So Moshe Rabbeinu, so Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was upset. Moshe Rabbeinu said, it says, "At to daver eleinu, lashon nekeva." So Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hitash to kochi kinekeva." It made me weak like a girl. Interesting expression. I've heard of, like, you know, you throw like a girl. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hitash to kochi kinekeva." So, but on the other hand, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Eitivu es asher diberu." The Ribbono Shel Olam was happy with the request, and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam was masculine. So it seems there was a machlokes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Ribbono Shel Olam. Was this a good request? Was it not a good request? What's better, to hear the Dvar Hashem directly, or to hear the Dvar Hashem mediated through Moshe? The Medrash says that when the Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Lo yilocha elohim echayim al panai," so the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah went away. But then when Klal Yisrael said, "Atu daber eleinu," we don't want to hear anymore the Dvar Hashem, so the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah came back. Likewise, the Medrash says that when the Rebbeinu said, "Anochi Hashem," and we heard that Mipi HaGvura, so at that point, we were at a state where we would never have forgotten Divrei Torah. The idea of forgetting Torah would have not been possible. But then when we said, "Atu daber eleinu," so then Shikcha came back. So it seems that there's a very big downside to this request of having a go-between. Had we heard the Dvar Hashem directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam, it would have had such a powerful effect. There would have been no Yetzirah, and there would have been no Shikcha. So I could understand why Moshe Rabbeinu was upset. So on the other hand, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Eitivu es asher diberu," that it was a good bakosh. Interestingly, the Malbim has a Sefer Eretz Chemda. Besides the regular Parish and Tanakh. So Ram has a Sefer Eretz Chemda. He says in one of the drushes, we know there's a concept of Loiba Shamayini, by the Maisel Tanu Shalach Noi, that when the Bershon gave us the Torah, the Koyach of Achron Torah is given over to Chachmei Adaris. And even if there's a Maisel Nisim that means that in Beis Nishol Maila, they hold one way, but the Achron Torah is given over to Beis Nishol Mata. The Shmaitzer talks about it in the Hakdom. And the other Svar. So the Malbim says that was only, that concept of Loiba Shamayini, that only happened after the Atta Damer Eleinu. If we had heard the Dvar Hashem directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam, like Moshe Rabbeinu heard it, then there would have been no concept of Leiba Shemayim. So what's going on? What's the Pshat in all of this? So I think Pshat's like this. You know, the Gemara says in Tainus, Harbi Lamarti Mirabaisai, Mechavera Yoisim Mirabaisai. A person can learn from his chaverim more than from his rebbe. Why? Because when a person learns from a rebbe, so he learns, if it's really a Talmud rebbe relationship, so he learns with a certain sense of bittul. He's a makabel. Rebbe says, and he listens. It's a passive, not totally passive, we'll see, but I'll compare him to a degree, it's a passive experience. He's makabel from the rebbe. He assumes the rebbe knows more than the rebbe has. The more experience he's listening in a passive mode, in a receptive mode. When he learns with the chaver, so then already he's learning, that's active learning. He's learning, he's listening critically. The chaver says something, he doesn't hear it uncritically, he listens to it critically. He has something of his own to contribute, he maybe disagrees, he develops his own ideas, his own understanding. So that's more. The developing one's own independence and learning comes more from the chaver than from the rabbeisai. You have to start with the merimei rabbeisai, you can't start with the chaver. A person has to be put on his feet. But Lamaisa, the person's independence comes from that kind of engagement, the active kind of, in other words, when he learns, the person learns from a Rebbe, but he learns with a certain bittul. That bittul stands in the way of his developing his own independent point of view. So if he can't skip the step, can't go straight to the Chavera, Mayosim Mirabaisa, you have to first go through the Harbi Lamadti Mirabaisa. But eventually, when he gets to the Chavera, when he graduates to the Chavera, Mayosim Mirabaisa, so now he's developing his own take on the Torah, his own independent stance, and that's a greater One can stike from that even more. That's what the Gemara says in Kiddushin. You know, the Gemara says that Tam Chacham can be mechel and is covered. So the Gemara asks, how can he be mechel and is covered? After all, it's the covered Torah. How could a Tam Chacham be mechel and the covered of the Ibn Shalom is Torah? So the Gemara says, no, it's his Torah. Because it says, with Hirosin, when a person is Yegei and Torah, it becomes his Torah, and now he could be mechel. Why is it his Torah? It's his Torah because he learned it with his seichel, with his understanding. He put himself into it. It's not only not just book learning that he. It's not just a tape recorder. We don't have tape recorders anymore. But he's not just a MP3 recorder. He's an active participant. It's his seichel also. That's ma'ur with the seichel on Torah. So it's his Torah. He give him seichel on the cover of his Torah. That comes from this idea of mechaber yosim yirabaisi, that a person he's not a passive recipient of the Torah. When Klal Yisrael heard the Dvar Hashem originally from the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself, the Dvar Hashem, to hear the Dvar Hashem means to have a total bitul hayesh. The amplitude of the Dvar Hashem, the plenitude of the Dvar Hashem, doesn't leave any room for anything of the person himself. It's an experience of total self-abnegation. Moshe Rabbeinu, we heard the Dvar Hashem, it was involved total, it totally overwrote any overall Moshe Rabbeinu himself, any seichel. Moshe Rabbeinu became Shechina Medaber. We say Moshe Rabbeinu Shechina Medaber is Mitoch Groinei. When Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, it was the Rebbeinu Shem directly speaking. There was nothing of Moshe Rabbeinu nothing of Moshe Rabbeinu mixed into that. That was the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was Isha Elikim. So it's a total bittul. And Chai Shalat to be at by Maimar HaSinim, when they read the Aseret HaDibros, they had such an experience of hearing the Dvar Hashem directly, and they felt that they're totally being misbattled to the Dvar Hashem. They're losing their sense of self and their own understanding in the experience of hearing the Dvar Hashem. The Dvar Hashem overwhelms everything else. So Chai Shalat came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you apparently are able to do that. We can't do that. We feel the Masna. We're going to continue to lose our sense of self. Because we're overwhelmed by the Dvar Hashem, we're going to die. We can't live with that sense of losing anything of our own self-awareness in the Dvar Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu was not happy with that. Moshe Rabbeinu's role was he thought that should be the role of Chai Yisrael as well, to be totally mekabel of Dvar Hashem. The Melitz of Chazal, as he said, he tashed the kochik in the cable. What's the kashta koychik in the cave? I think the oimuk of the melitza is, you know, in the symbolism of Chazal, to be makabel is a feminine midah. That doesn't mean that women only can be makabel and men can't be makabel. Every person, man or woman, has a mixture of feminine and masculine midas. But the midah itself, midas, Chazal described certain midas as being essentially masculine midas, and certain midas being essentially feminine midas. The midah of being makabel, that's midas amalchus, to be makabel, less than megamei klum, that's a feminine midah. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Itashta koychi kinekeva." You're saying to me that I have this midah of being able to of just being makabel, and you aren't willing to emulate that. So Moshe Rabbeinu was not happy with that. But the Rebbeinu should have said, "No, tima shediver." That's what I want from them. I don't expect them to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu could be the Isha Elikim who's totally bottled to the Dvar Hashem. That's not what the Rebbeinu expects from anybody else. And it's not the Mechuvan. The Ikar Mechuvan is that you should hear the Dvar Hashem. You should hear the Dvar Hashem in a way that later on you're able to understand it with your own seichel, with your own input, and you should make it yours. And therefore, me, the Rebbeinu was happy with that. And the Malbim says, so had it been originally the way the original Mechuvim was, had Klai Yisrael continued to hear the Dvar Hashem directly, so the Medrash says, so they would have been told, they would have been no Yetzirah, and there would have been no Shikha, because the Dvar Hashem would have permeated every fiber of their being, and it would have not have left any room for Yetzirah, wouldn't have left any room for Shikha, for thinking about anything else, for Esach Hadas. The Dvar Hashem would have been totally all-encompassing. But the Dvar Hashem, at the end of the day, that's not what he wanted. That's not what he expected. From Moshe Rabbeinu, he expected Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is given to Moshe Rabbeinu, so Moshe Rabbeinu has to be that way, because it has to be the Torah. Because otherwise, he can't be Moshe Rabbeinu can't be the Moshe HaTorah if there's any bit of Moshe Rabbeinu mixed in. So it has to be totally the Dvar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is totally bottom. But that's not what he expects from the rest of us. And says the Malbim, the idea of Leib Shemaimi comes from the fact that the Torah, that the Rebbeinu gave us the Torah in that way, that he wants us to be with our Seichel and with our Havana. So the idea of Leib Shemaimi that is given to the Achros Halacha is given over to our understanding. That comes from this Bakosh of Atta Deber Eleinu. The Klai Yisrael said, we want to be Mekabel the Torah, but we can't be Mekabel the Torah in such a way that we put ourselves totally on the side. We Mekabel the Torah from a boss of a dumb, we Mekabel the Torah from a Moshe Rabbeinu. From a Moshe Rabbeinu, he's Moshe Rabbeinu, but we can still feel that we're here. We can feel us, we'll have a sense of self, as Talminim, albeit. But we'll feel a sense of self, and then we'll grow, and we'll develop, and we'll develop our own independence. From a Moshe Rabbeinu, that's possible. And from that grows the whole idea of Leib Shemayim. But that growth and becoming independent eventually, that's only possible when you learn from a Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you had to learn directly from Kodesh Brichu, then that kind of development would have not been possible. Because the Rebbeinu Shlomo is always infinitely more than any possible Makabel. So there's no way the Talmud could never grow into a Talmud Chavar. He can never grow in his own independence. But if you learn from a Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's still possible to grow to have the normal development of Mesir Sefer, which is the Harbi Lamad Tamei Rabbeisai. But eventually, Mechaver Yosim Rabbeisai. And that's the nice of Derech HaMesir Sefer. Derech HaMesir Sefer is it has to go Bahadroga. But it starts off with Harbi Lamad Tamei Rabbeisai. Talmud comes to Rebbe, and he has to have a sense that he's here to listen. Not here. He's here to listen. He's here to try to understand what the Rebbe has to offer. Try to understand and the Rebbe is not only the Rebbe standing behind the desk. The Rebbe is also Rabbi Seinu. The Rebbe Seinu, Achayinim, Rishayinim. We want to, you know, we want to be talmidim of this whole Messiah of how Torah should be learned, how Torah should be thought about. So we start off in a posture of being a Makabel. But it's Almanas Cain that little by little the person, the Talmud develops his own independence. He finds that he also has what to say, and he also has a take on the sugya. And eventually that's how one grows, and that's the growth in learning. So anyway, so that's how it is. So the person comes to shir. The main thing is not the shir. The shir is a wherewithal, it's a springboard. But the mechuvan ultimately is that from listening to the shir, and the shir is a model, is a template, but from listening to the shir, a person should, that the Talmud should learn how to learn the sugya on his own, and how to discover how to work through the sugya on his own. That's ultimately the mechuvan. Of course, as I said, it goes step by step. You're new to the shir, first you have to figure out what it's all about. And through this bodhuk umunusa, guys come to the shir, if they're new in the shir, they're a chal, and if they ask in shir, and they're brand new, so what they have to ask is going to be not the meaning of what we're trying to accomplish. But then afterwards, with experience, then they have what to contribute, and they have what to, and very often Talmidim are able to say things that are very valuable and very, very illuminating. So that's the normal trajectory of the learning curve. But that's what we're trying to accomplish. The main thing is, that's why we try to have chaburis also. Not that the chaburis are necessarily going to be rashi de kechidushim, but the person learns by you learn by doing, you learn by taking the kind of taking the model of what you're hearing and trying to do it on your own. As far as expectations are concerned, there's a lot of new guys. We talk about what the expectations are when you come to shir. Guys who are not new to the shir, they already know this. I've said this many, many times. But for the guys who are new, the expectation is when you come to shir, you should know the Gemara Rashi Tosfos Shaka V'Tari about that. It means not word for word, but the Shaka V'Tari you should know by heart. We're going to learn a Tosfos Shavu Kesef, about Tosh Shavu Kesef Ki Kesef. You should be able to say outside the Shaka V'Tari of Tosfos. What's Tosfos Kashi? What's Tosfos Teretz? What the whole Shaka V'Tari to be able to do it close Gemara. There have been times, I'm sure we'll try it from time to time this year as well. There have been times when I ask the guys not to open the Gemara in shir. Not because we're not learning the sugya inside, not because we're doing something that's not in the sugya. We're doing something very much in the sugya, but because it forces you to make sure that you actually know the sugya about that. It's very powerful tool. It's a powerful tool. It's an expectation to be able to gain from the shir, but it's also you'll gain more from the learning in Seder as well. If you know the Gemara, if you know the Shaka V'Tari of the Gemara, and you put an emphasis at the beginning of learning the sugya to learn the sugya of the Gemara, about that. So you'll discover that your iyun will be much sounder as well. It will force your attention to be on the structure of the sugya And what exactly is Rashi asking? What is Tosfos asking? What is Tosfos answering? All of the nitty gritty of the sugya, which is very easy to gloss over, especially it's very easy to gloss over that. Try to get to the good stuff, get to the svaras. But you're going to be without. You're going to miss the main. You're going to miss the sugya. But Herachal, I recommend when you're learning a sugya, you should learn the Gemara. Make sure you remember. You can say it over. What did the Gemara say? Then do Rashi. Make sure you can say it over Rashi. Say how Rashi learned the Gemara. Then you do a Tosfos. Learn Tosfos. When you finish the Tosfos, or if it's a long Tosfos, even before you finish the Tosfos, speak the Tosfos out about that. Shakravatari, what Tosfos asks, what Tosfos answers. Speak it out a lot. And when you finish the whole thing, go back to the beginning and speak out the whole thing about that. And the Eon should be part of that. As you're doing it, should be Ma'ayan. You know, as you're saying over the Tosfos, you should be thinking about the Tosfos. As you're saying over the Tosfos Kasha, you should be thinking about it. You know, what's the Havana behind Tosfos Kasha? How does it stem with everything else in the Sugya? How does it understand the Sugya? All of the things that go into Eon, all of the many things that go into Eon. The most productive time to do it, this is a trick, but it's very powerful. When you're reading the Gemara inside on the page, so you're also thinking. But if you say it outside, you say the Gemara, you say the Shakhtar outside, and you're ma'ayin in it at the same time, you'll find, I don't know if I can explain exactly why this is so, but it is so, you'll find that your Ian will be much stronger, will be better than when you're reading the Gemara inside. So this is a very powerful tool. And it's a way to be kinder than Shaka V'taya, and you also get a lot more from the whole thing. If you don't have the Gemara clear, then you're not going to have anything from the Shir. And if you don't have anything to do, if you finish the Sugi and you finish preparing and you have time left in Seder, and you have nothing left to do, and you know, what should I do? The best thing to do is not to go take a Sefer off the shelf at random and see what they have to say on the day, but rather to go over again, say it over again, well, say over the Shaka V'taya, what it is. And the same thing if it's a Ramban, if it's a Rashba, whatever it is, it's a very powerful tool in Iyun, to say over the Shach Levitai what the Vishnu is saying, and at the same time to be Ma'ayan and make sure you understand it and think about it and challenge it and whatever. Again, all of the various elements that go into you, to do it while you're saying over the Shach Levitai. Spodukum Nusa, Tambin the Mihirov tried it and tell you that it's a very useful thing to do. Also very important, if you have an R on the Sugya, you should write it down. If you have an R, you have a Kasha, you have a Sora, whatever it is, you should write it down. You should have a notebook, or you should have a document on your, you should have a folder in your laptop, on your, whatever it is, somewhere you should have a place where you write down your thoughts and Torah. I have this from Meir Shiver of Schneer, who had it from his grandfather, Mrs. Zalman. Mrs. Zalman said that every Talmud should have a machaberes in which he writes down his Chiddush Torah. It doesn't matter how good the Chiddush Torah are, but it gives a chashivos to your own learning. If you have a kash, if you write it down, then it gives a certain... First of all, it keeps you honest. You know, is it really a kash? You know, if you could say anything, but to write it down, it has to be more meduyik, it has to be more precise. When you're just talking, it could be fuzzy. You write it down, it has to be precise. So it teaches precision. In general, writing teaches precision. This is true not only in learning, it's true in many other disciplines. Writing gives you precision in thinking. But it also gives you a sense that your own thoughts have value. And that's very healthy for your learning. So that's also very, very, very good aids. I'm sure over the course of time I'll think of other aids to share with you, but that'll be for the time being. Okay, let's start. Okay, the Mishnah says that Isha Niknes Shalish Dachim, the kindness asma bishvei dachim. Says Rashi, the Isha Niknes Levailo. So clear what gears are Rashi coming with Pukim from? I don't know what was the other gears that are actually coming to. I'm not sure. I suggest. Okay, we'll come back to it in a second. The kainis atma says Rashi. What does it mean? The kainis atma liyis pirshusa liyinosi lacha.
stagdor, liyos pirshuso lihinosi lach. So let's start with the first Rashi. Aisha nikkens lebailo.
So what does Rashi want with that? What does Rashi say? Aisha nikkens lebailo. Obviously.
So in pasuk shara, I would think Aisha nikkens lebailo means lafuke. Don't think we're talking about arm of real or ships of kindness.
No, we're talking about marriage. That's the case. Rashi's not saying here anything so profound. Maybe somebody doesn't know what tradition is all about. And he starts reading the Mishnah. Isha nikkens. What initial nickness? Where nickness? Shuk. What are we talking about? Rashi says, "Nickness lebal." We're talking about a wedding.
The Ra'ah was bothered though by this Rashi. Apparently, he thought that this Rashi is trying to say something more than that. So the Ra'ah says, "Anybody have a kibbutz? Do we have a Ra'ah?" Yeah, the Ra'ah says two pshatim in Rashi. First, he says a pshat in Rashi, which would also explain the other Rashi about Tochigasino, what was the other gis over there that Rashi's denying. So the Ra'ah brings one pshat that there was a girsa floating around, which Rashi is at pains to tell me not is wrong, but there was a girsa that didn't have the words of Kodesh Asim B'Shtei Drachim, and just had a Isha Niknes B'Sholosh Drachim. And this girsa, and the pshat in this girsa, those who had this girsa, they understood the Mishnah to be saying that an Isha is Niknes in both directions, with a sum total of three drachim. She's nicknays to the husband with one derech of kesef, shtar, and bia, which all count as one derech because they all have something in common. He says they're all a devar hanoah shemekabelis minei. Kesef, shtar, and bia is she's getting a devar hanoah from the husband, from the mekadesh. So that counts as one derech. And then she's nicknays in the other direction with get and with Mrs. Abal. So the sachakal is she's nicknays v'sholish drachim. The kesef shtar bia in when she's going in one direction, and the get with Mrs. Abal, which would be nicknays back in the other direction. So this is the gear that Rashi is coming to tell me is not true. Aisha nicknays doesn't mean sachakal in both directions. Aisha nicknays means in the one direction of Labaila, and the right girsa is v'kainis asim b'shtei drachim. So the sholosh drachim, I guess the star would be a three drachim that she nicknays lebaila, and then she's kainis atzma garsinon. There's two drachim, which is kainis atzma, namely begetu b'misas ha, begetu b'misas haba. So that's the first mahalach. But how the Ra'ah explains what Rashi wants. Very strange mahalach, because this girsa the Rashi would be denying is very strange. I don't know how much we have to worry about it. It's like a girsa the Rashi is telling me is not true. What was this natural girsa to hell? The kesef star would be is all one derech. What does Kesher Shtar and Bia, what do they have in common? Well, they're all in the Var Hanoah that she's Makabal from the husband. What Hanoah do you have by a Shtar? Shtar is not a Shavar Futu. Where's the Var Hanoah that she's Makabal from the husband? Taket, the Gemara later on, and make the Tzrichah says, why do you need all of these, why did the Torah have to tell me all of the various Kinyonim? So the Gemara says that Kesher and Bia are Hanoah and Merubah, but Shtar is not Hanoah and Merubah, so I wouldn't know Shtar and Kesher and Bia. So the Gemara says, Machala, Kesher and Bia, there's Hanoah. By Shtar, there's no Hanoah, at least not Hanoah and Merubah. I guess this case would say, yes, I have lost some ruler, but Ephes there is. The star is Lord, it's Roy, Lot Shalpik Sluchas. The star has something, some value. Very strange thing, but nickness with the value of the star, even if the star has value, but that's not what makes the Kenyan. The value of the star is irrelevant to the Kenyan star. I don't know, very strange gears. Anyway, that's not so much what I want to focus on. The Ra'ah then says another thing. The Ra'ah then goes on and he says, a different shot than the first Rashi. What does Rashi want with Aisha nickness the Bible? The Eshesh Rashi Al Higish. The Leitzoyach Kinyan, Ele Vedova Shekoina Oysa Hagguf. Shekoina Oysa Hagguf. The Hocholoi Shayach. The Rashi was still bothered. What kind of Kinyan do you have in the Isha? Kinyan, the concept of Kinyan, usually is when you own something physical. You own a table, you own a chair, you own an Eved. It's also Gufa Koni Kishore Vechamayor. But in Isha, you don't have any momentistic kinyan. Not really shaykh. V'chein kainis atzma. And likewise, when she's kainis atzma, what does that mean? Kainis atzma from the husband. What does the husband have in her that it be shaykh over here in Lashon of Kinyan? It's a marriage. It's a, you know, they have a relationship. But what does that have to do with kinyan? So therefore, here's Rashi's out. The kinyan da'ocha haynu le'inyan bailo. So that's what it says. So therefore, Rashi says, Aisha nikneis le'inyan bailo kaloyma le'inyan ishus. Like with painus asma. Liyos b'shus le'inosi le'hacha. So there are, it takes us into, I mean, the diak and the, you know, this diak from, the diak and the Rashi, Isha Nikmas Labaila, is hard to really know what to make of it. I don't know what to do. But a component of it's tradition. The Ra'a saw this Rashi as being significant. Isha Nikmas Labaila, he wants to say, the Rashi was Kilo Bader. What kind of Kenyan are we talking about over here? There's no, her goof is not nicknamed him. There's no mummanistic, it's not a mummanistic Kenyan, it's not a Kenyan in the regular sense. Says Rashi in Echirami, she nicknames Leinian Bailo, Leinian the Ishus, that now he's her husband. It's a different kind of Kenyan. It's a Kenyan that's Pile Ishus, but not a Kenyan in the regular Mormonistic sense. The idea, the Rashi is really telling me more a negative than a positive. He's telling me more what Kedushin is not, more than he's telling me what it is. He's telling me it's not a Mormonistic Kenyan, not a conventional Kenyan. It's a different kind of Kenyan. It's a Kenyan of Ishus. He doesn't explain what a Kenyan of Ishus is. And what makes Ishus a Kenyan? That there was not really masba for me. Yeah, all right, we have Maseches Kedushin, we'll have to work. But Akapadami tells me al derech hashlila, at least. Like Rambam writes in the Morning Lucham, certain things you can know only al derech hashlila. Telling me al derech hashlila, Kedushin is not a regular Kenyan of Mamanus. He's not kind of anything in the Gufa Isha. It's a Kenyan of Ishus, which is a different kind of entity altogether. You have in Rishonim this idea in many places. The Moshul, you have the Ramban at the beginning of Gittin. The Ramban, and a whole bunch of Rishonim over there in Talmidei Ramban. The Ramban at the beginning of Gittin, the Ramban is being done by a get. Do we tie it? So by a get, the husband has a right to tie him as Leif. Let's say a woman comes up with a get, so the Baal has a right to tie him as Leif. And if the Baal tie him as Leif, we have to tie him the get. But what if the Baal didn't tie him as Leif? So we don't have to tie him the get. Even though normally by a shtar, let's say a shtachayv, somebody pulls out a shtachayv and the loiva is not here. So the halacha is kind of the shtachayv pichalilim. We tain the mezuyif on the half of the loiva. On the behalf of the yoshim, there's a concept of taninon. Or on behalf of a lekeach. Anybody who's not in a position to tain it for himself, so based on tain is on his behalf. Ask the Ramban, Tais also talks about it at the beginning of Gittin. If the husband's not here, let's say somebody's sent to get him in his hayam. And now the woman gets the get, and we don't. How do we know that it's a real get? Shliach comes with the get. How do we know it's a real get? Why don't we tie it? The husband's not here. We should tie him mezuyif on behalf of the husband. After all, the woman's going to use this get to take herself out of the violence of the husband. So we should tie him mezuyif on behalf, the same way we tie him mezuyif on behalf of a loiva, or on behalf of anybody who's being deprived of something by a shtar. We would, if he's not here to tie him mezuyif, we tie him mezuyif on his behalf. So why don't we tie him mezuyif on behalf of the baal? Says, talks about, but says other things. Says the Ramban, because Eina Yishim Imayna Shelavah, the woman, the wife, never belonged to the husband in the first place. That he should be a party, that we should hide him Muzuyif on his behalf. If now that she never belonged to the husband in the first place, so there's no Tanin on behalf of the husband. She's not leaving the husband's bailus. She's not leaving the husband's ownership. She is leaving his bailus, but she's not leaving the husband's ownership. That we should therefore tie him Muzuyif on his behalf on the get. So also you have there, you have the same statement that ain't a yishim u'mayna shalabah. You have a likewise in the Rashba later on, Dafov, the Rashba talks about ribis. The woman is, if a person is mekadesh a woman, let's say a person stipulated ribis on a chayv, and then he was mekadesh the woman with the ribis, that instead of paying her the ribis, instead of her paying him the ribis, she'll be miskadesh to him. So the Gemara says it's not ribis. It's also a good kedushin, but the Gemara says besides everything else, it's not ribis. So the Rishonim says, why isn't that ribis? Chared is ribis. Now she still owes him the money, and besides owing him the money, now he has a wife to boot. So it's a ribis. So the Rashba is not ribis because the husband doesn't own the wife. I forgot exactly the lashon of the Rashba over there. But Al Derech said, he says it's not the husband doesn't acquire anything when he acquires a wife. Maybe it's kind of than last night. It's not called this. There's no mummanistic kinyan over here in the kiddushin. So So what is the kinyan? So let's say, for the time being, it's not a mamus. Because we have a lot of Rishonim telling me, they're Rambam Gittin, the Rashban Dabob, that the kinyan of Kiddushin is not a mamunistic kinyan. It's an ishistic kinyan. So what exactly is this ishistic kinyan? Le'inyan, what is it a kinyan? No. If it's not a kinyan of mamun, so in what sense is it a kinyan? They're married, they have a relationship. She has Isurim, she's not allowed to get married, she's not allowed to marry anybody else. But why is it called a kinyan at all? Yes, this is a broad topic, but the clue that we have here in Rashi, at least, is Haskalah Zvarim. Right now, it's Haskalah Zvarim. We're going to meander now a little bit at the beginning. Later on, we'll get into places, we'll get into the regular work. But right now, we're going to let it meander somewhat. So the clue that we have is the Rashi of Akainis Atzmo. Liyos b'shuso l'dimasi l'achem. So, what did Rashi say earlier? She's kainis atzma liyos b'shuso l'dimasi l'achem. He will mash me Rashi. That she was nicknamed to the husband. There's a double. There's two kinyanim here. She's nicknamed Levaila, and now she's kainis atzma back. So Rashi explains the kainis atzma. It's a little strange, actually. Rashi doesn't so much explain the nicknames. He spends more time explaining the kainis atzma than he spends explaining the nicknames. The nicknames, he doesn't explain anything. Nicknamed Levaila. The kainis atzma, he has more observations. Liyos b'shusu l'hinosi l'achar. But l'chayra, I don't know why Rashi waited till the second half of this two-sided coin. But the current implication is that in what sense was she nicknamed Levaila in the first place? Because when she was nicknamed, in how was she nicknamed Levaila? What does it mean that she nicknamed Levaila? That she is b'shusoi she'eno yecholo lehinosi la'acha. And now she's chaynes atzmo liyos b'shusoi that she is able lehinosi la'acha. So this is our first clue that the idea of the kinyan of kiddushin is that the kinyan is that she is not able lihinosi la'acha. That's the content of the kinyan, that she can't be nisis la'acha. It's not a momentistic kinyan like some other are. The kinyan is that she's not able to be nisis la'acha, and the claim is atzma is that now she is out of it. She's in the rishus of the husband, that she's not able to nisis la'acha. And now when she's claiming this asma, she's out of the shus of the husband, and she's able to be Mrs. Lachem. So Mashman Rashi Kilo, that's the content of the kinyan. So there's a machshav over here. This is really a lot of people want to say. The Meir Rashi means the following. There's a Pnei Yeshua. It's a famous Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua in Gittin, in Daf Mem Gimel, has the following Chiddush Din. We know Kiddushin is not Taifis in the Meishas Ish. What about a woman who's a chatzi shifcha and a chatzi baschayin? And the chatzi baschayin is married to Yisro. There's a special name for such a person. We don't know. What's this person called? Shifcha chalufa. She's half shifcha. The half shifcha, let's say there were two. So shifcha k'tayin is the half, belonged to two people. One of them was Meshacher. So now you have a woman who's a chatzi shifcha, chatzi baschayin, like you have a chatzi yevet, chatzi ben chayin. The half that's a shifcha can't get married. It's the kiddush not taifus in it. The half that's a baschayin could get married. So now you have this chatzi shifcha, chatzi baschayin. And she's married. Not who's she going to marry. You can't marry Yisrael, really, because Yisrael is also to live with a shifcha k'nayis. And this lady's half shifcha k'nayis. But she can marry Nebedivri. Nebedivri is mutter b'Yisraelis, and he's mutter b'shifcha k'nayis. So this woman, both halves of her, will be mutter to Nevedivri. So the normal case would be, you have a shifcha charufa, is a woman, she's a chatzi shifcha chatzi baschayin, and she's married to an Nevedivri. Married to an Nevedivri means she's half married to an Nevedivri. The half that's a shifcha can't be married to Nevedivri, she's just living with the Nevedivri. But the half that's a baschayin is married to the Nevedivri. So this is a woman who's half Eish Ish. So the halacha is, that's called a shifcha charufa. I don't know what a shifcha charufa is, but that's the halacha, that's how we pass in the shifcha charufa. So the din of a shifcha charufa is that she's that the half that's married is an eishes ish, but it's not a chiyuv kor, it's only chiyuv lav. It's only chayv lav, chiyuv korban, chayv lav. There's no kor. So the Peshuk has the shaila. He says, is Kiddushin Teufis in the Shivcha Charufa? If you have the Shivcha Charufa, the half that's able to get married is married to an Evidivri, and now somebody else comes in, he's a Mekadesha. Is the Kiddushin Teufis? I mean, if it is Teufis, what will happen to the original? But is the Kiddushin Teufis at all? Yeah, presumably, if the Kiddushin is Teufis, then she be a shivcha charufa to him too. Now she'll have two husbands. The ma'ase is kiddushin teifus. So the pasha de machshava is yes. Why yes? Because usually the rule is that kiddushin is not teifus in chayvei kisus, but it is teifus in chayvei laban. Right? The kiddushin is a claim. Kiddushin is teifus. It's also, but kiddushin is teifus. Chayvei kor is kiddushin not teifus. A shivcha charufa is an ancient siege, but it's not chayvei kor. It's only chayvei laban. So the chayra, the svara would be that kiddushin is teifus in the shivcha charufa. Says the Pnei Yeshua, he wants a mechadish halacha, that Kiddushin is not teifus in the Shivcha Charufa. He says, why? Because he says, the reason why Kiddushin is not teifus in the Nesesish is not only because there's a Chiyuv Karas. That's also true. But Kiddushin is not teifus in the Nesesish for another reason as well. Kiddushin is not teifus in the Nesesish because Kiddushin means to be kind to her. And you can't be kind to her if she belongs to somebody else. The same way, if this my jacket belongs to me, and you come and you make a kinyan in my jacket, it doesn't belong to you. Doesn't do chayvei koras. If it's koni to me, then how's it going to be unless I sell it to you? But I don't sell it to you. You can't come along and make a kinyan in my jacket because my rishus precludes. It's not hefker. So he says a woman who's married, even if she's only a shivcha charufa, so she's married. That means she's not rishus atzma. So she, how can she go and be mekadesh herself, allow herself to be mekadesh to Shimon, if she's already mekadesh to Reuven? So Reuven has a kinyan in her. Reuven's kinyan, by definition, precludes the kinyan of Shimon. It's a chiddush, a very important chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua, that it's by definition impossible to be mekadesh in Eshashish, because to be mekadesh means to make a kinyan in her, and how can you make a kinyan in her if she's already connected to somebody else? Davni Miluim in Simin Mem Dalet, Siv Dalet, Simin Kotin Dalet, disagrees. He thinks it's not true. He thinks the only reason why Kiddushin not Teifus in Eshashish is only because it's Chayvei Koras. And he says he has a right from the Gemara Pereshis. Because the Gemara Daf Samach Zayin, he says the Peshul forgot to prepare the Gemara. The Gemara Daf Samach Zayin discusses how do we know that Kiddushin is not Teifus in Eshashish. And the Gemara says, so you can't learn that from other Arayis, because other Arayis don't have the het to b'chai oisrun, and Eshashish has a het to b'chai oisrun, the Baal to give her a get. So it has a certain kula that other Arayis don't have. So how do you know that Kiddushin is not Teifus in Eshashish? He says, the Gemara is a hekesh, that all the Arayis were hukush, all the chayvei koras of Arayis were hukush ladodi, keshet Rav Yoina, and from the keshet, from the hekesh of all the Arayis ladodi, we know that Eshashish is also not tafsi b'kiddushin. Says the Anam Elu, prepare the Gemara. That the only reason why Kiddushin is not Teufis in Eshashish is because because she's Chayiv Koras and there's a Hekesh that all the Chayiv Krisus don't have Kiddushin. That's where we get the idea that there's no Kiddushin in Chayiv Koras. Otherwise, the Gemara should have just said, maybe what did the Gemara need the Hekesh for? The Gemara should say, Kiddushin is not Teufis in Eshashish because of the thing Yeshua's for. How could Kiddushin be Teufis if she's already coming to somebody else? So, Kitz, the Amin Lulun says that Yeshua Mamish forgot the Beferish Gemara. And therefore, the Rami Malun says that the Menachanami in a Shivcha Charufa where there's no Chayim, where there's no Chiyuv Koras, and there's no occasion to Rabbi Yehuda, so Kiddushin Pachah will be Teufis. It emerges from that Gemara. If the Gemara says that the only reason why Kiddushin not Teufis in Eshashish is because of the Hukshukol Arayis, all the Chayim Kisses La'adodi, Kol Shiasim Kol Teufis Ha'ilu V'Nichus, so there's a Hekesh all Arayis La'adodi. That's how we know Kiddushin not Teufis in Eshashish. So in Shivcha Charufa there is no Chiyuv Koras and it's only Chayv Elavim. So in Echanami, Avada Kiddushin is Teufis. Says the Chazon Ish that he thinks Lo'olam Pnei Shul could be right. And the Gemara is not right. Because, says the Chazon Ish, you have to know what's the context of that Gemara. The context of that Gemara is the Mishnah on Tzamach Vav Mabez, where the Mishnah says a rule that kol mokam sheyesh kiddushin, then the vlad is not a mamzer. But kol mokam she'en kiddushin, then the vlad is a mamzer. So the Mishnah says a litmus test. In what union is the vlad a mamzer? From a union between a man and a woman in whom there's no tfisis kiddushin. And that obviously includes all of their eyes of Chayvei Kares, and it includes Heishes Ish as well. And it's in the context of that Mishnah that the Gemara wants to know that how do I know that Kiddushin is an erva that doesn't have that from whom that's an erva in which and Kiddushin, which is not Tvisa Kiddushin, and therefore Avlad Mamzer. So that's the Gemara, and in that context, the Gemara invokes the Keshet Rebbe. Says the Chazon Ish, maybe somebody can see it coming. What's the Chazon Ish going to say? What's from Yashuv Nei Yeshua? Shlo'olam, he says, the Pnei Yeshua is 100% right. You can't have Kiddushin and Neshashish. You don't need any psukim to tell me that. It's a double poshut and seichel that you can't be Mekadosh and Neshashish because it's not physically possible to be kind to a woman who's already kind to somebody else. But what? But if that was all it was, if that was the only reason why Kiddushin and Neshashish and Neshashish, so then what's preventing the Kiddushin and Kiddushin and Neshashish? The Erva Shabbat? Not the Erva Shabbat. Just the Metzias. She was ready to somebody else. So from whom are you going to be kinder? That wouldn't make Avlad Mamzer. When the Mishnah says that that in a relationship that there's no Tfisus Kedushin, the Avlad is a Mamzer, the Mishnah is saying because that level of Erva creates a Mamzer. The level of Erva that prevents Tfisus Kedushin is the level of Erva that creates a Mamzer. And Eish Hashish, Avada, you can't be Makadosh and Eish Hashish because how can you Makadosh a woman who's not married to you? She's already married to somebody else. It's a Chesor in the Maisa Kinyan. But that doesn't mean that it's not an Erva that prevents Kedushin. That wouldn't create Avlad Mamzer. But the Mishnah says that in Eish Hashish, that if somebody's Baal Eish Hashish, the Vlad is a Mamzer. That requires that there's no Tfisus Kiddushin Eish Hashish, not only because there's a Chesor in the Maisa Kinyan, but because it's an Erva on the level of lack of Tfisus Kiddushin. The Erva of Eish Hashish prevents Tfisus Kiddushin. That the Pesha doesn't help me for. For that, I really need a Pesha Rebbeinu that all of the Ervas arise of Chayvei Kares, including Eish Hashish, are considered to be arise and whom the Erva prevents Tfisus Kiddushin. And Echrami, there's no Nachkamina in the Tfisus Kiddushin itself, because Kiddushin is not going to be Tefis anyway, because not Shaykh and Mitzias. But the Nachkamina will be like Abi Avlad Mamza. Since it's the Erva also that's preventing Tfisus Kiddushin, so maybe Avlad Mamza. So that's how the Chazon Ish salvages the Pnei Yeshua. So the Maisa is the Machlekes of the Pnei Yeshua and the Amu Milu. Is there such a Svara that the Tfisus Kiddushin of Reuben will vad the Erva Shavoy, the Mitzias of the Tfisus Kiddushin to Reuben, prevents a Tfisus Kiddushin of Shimon? The Yeshua says yes, and the Rabbi Mum says no. Nafkimin el Gavashiv Charuf. So many want to be Medayik and Rashi, that Rashi is like the Pnei Yeshua. This is great, this is Shiva Shura. But the Rashi over here, Rashi is blue. That Mkoines Asma, Liois, Birshusu, Lihinosu, Lacha. That Rashi means, Mamish Pnei Yeshua. Then when she's Niknis Levaila, so she's Birshus HaBaal, and therefore she's not able to be Lihinosu, Lacha, because she's coming to the Baal. And that's the meaning of the Kinyan to the Baal. She's coming to the Baal, L'inyan Zeh, that now she's coming to him, so it's not possible for her to be Niknis to anybody else. And now when she's Koines Asma, the meaning of Koines Asma is that now she's Lies Bishus, so she's no longer Bishus HaBaal, and Mimela, she's able to be Nisus to somebody else. The attractiveness of this Mahalach and Rashi is that it explains why, if Kiddushin is not a Mominus to Galocha, like we saw in the Ra'ah and in other Rishonim, Eina Isha Mominus Shel HaBaal, so then in what sense is it a Kinyan at all? It creates Yisurim. Well, many things create Yisurim. They're not Kinyonim. No, many Yisurim in the world, they don't require Kinyonim. So why do we think of Kiddushin, why do we conceptualize Kiddushin as a Kinyan altogether? There's Halacha that if you're a Kaddish woman, so she becomes also a Shasi, she becomes an Erev of Chayvei Kares. But why call that a Kinyan? Why did Chazal use the terminology of Kinyan for the relationship of Kiddushin, which is not a Kinyan in the conventional sense, that she doesn't belong to the husband? So why do we use the terminology of Kinyonim for something that really has nothing to do with Kinyon? It's Yisur. So why talk about it as being Kinyonim? Islam tis melachas on Shabbos, we don't say Islam tis Kinyonim on Shabbos, because it has nothing to do with Kinyon. It's Yisur. So yeah, Yisur Eish Yisish. Why do we use terminology of Kinyon for Kiddushin? If we would say this Mahalach and Rashi, based on the Pnei Yeshua, then besides the words of Rashi and the word itself, but it would give us perhaps an understanding of why we think of Kiddushin as a kinyan, not because she belongs to the husband, but we think of it as a kinyan because it has the structure of a kinyan. because it has in common with the Kenyan this feature, that if I own something, then you can't be kind of it. Because belong, right? That's part of the Kenyan, it's a zero-sum game. If it's kind of to me, it can't be kind of to you, and the fact that it's kind of to me prevents you being able to be kind of it. Well, Kiddushin has that feature as well. Even if Kiddushin is just issues, but it has this feature that a woman, when she's coming to Reuven, she can no longer, when she's married, put it this way, when a woman is married to Reuven, cannot be married to Shimon. She can't get married to Shimon. Reuven, having been being married to Rachel, could still marry Leah. But Rachel, being married to Reuven, by definition, cannot become married to Shimon. That structure is a structure of Kinyon. I could have two jackets, but my jacket can only have 1 hour. I mean, the shutfas, but then each one owns half. But that's the structure you have by Kinyon. You know, I could have many chafotzim, but each chafetz, if it belongs, my chafetz, if it belongs to me, nobody else could be kind of. So since Ishus has that kind of structure, that the woman, when she nicknames to Reuben, she can no longer be nicknames to Shimon, but Reuben can be kind of, can be married to Rachel and be married to Leah. That's a Kinyonim structure. And that's what Ishus has in common with Kinyon. And therefore, we think of Ishus as a Kinyon. Because she's married to Reuben. What does it mean she's coming to Reuben? So Rashi says she's coming to Reuben. In Yezeh. That she can't be coming to Shimon. That's why it's a Kinyon. Not because he owns her. It's a Kinyon because it has that in common with the Kinyon, that if she's coming to Reuben, she can't be coming to Shimon. So that's an attractive shot in this Rashi, and the Sfar is very attractive. Child, if it's true, there's a reason maybe to think that it's not so true as Psalm Rashi is concerned. I mean, maybe the concept is a true concept, but as far as what Rashi is saying over here, because the Mishnah goes on and says the Yavam also is nicknames the Derech Echon, and she's Kainis Asma B'Shtei Drochim. And over there, on the Kainis Asma of Yavam, Rashi doesn't say anything. Hayavam and Nicknas Liyavam, that's similar to Aisha Nicknas Liyavam. Hayavam and Nicknas Liyavam. Kainis Asma is no Rashi. The Derech Echon. If there's no Rashi in the Sefer of the Mishnah of Kainis Atzma, so why is there no Rashi over there of Kainis Atzma? He had to explain it up here. Why didn't he have to explain it down there? Shpederecha, what would you say? Rashi at the beginning of the Mishnah had to explain Kainis Atzma, what it means. So why doesn't he have to explain it in the Sefer? Because you explained it in the Mishnah. So he's relying on what he said at the beginning. Well, that's about as the passage. So that would mean that however we're explaining this Rashi, the Kainis Atzma in the Reisha, that's the same meaning by Yavama when the Yavama is Kainis Atzma. By Yavama is Kainis Atzma, what does it mean? She's supposed to be Yavama, so she's Niknes B'Biyot, but she's Kainis Atzma, I mean, to get out of the Zika. It's not so symmetric, maybe just point out Agavucha. The Sefer of the Mishnah is a little bit different than the Reisha. In the Reisha, you should Niknes. And then she's kainis atzma from that kinyan itself. She's nicknames for sholot, kesef shal would be, and now she's married. And then she's kainis atzma to get out of the marriage. But Yavama is not that way. She's nicknames when she falls liyibum, so she's nicknames when she's misya bemis. But kainis atzma doesn't mean after she was nicknames but beer, now she wants to get out. That's forget. There, the kainis atzma means to not be misya bemis. She fell liyibum, so to complete the yibum, she's nicknames but beer, but to get out of the yibum, to not fall, to get out of the falling libum, so she's kind of asked me be chalitzo b'misas hayom. Okay, but anyway, so we're talking about Yavama l'shuk. She's being kind of asked to get out of the nefila libum. Yavama l'shuk is machalik samarayim, but according to some amarayim, Yavama l'shuk has to be his kiddushin. Kiddushin is typhus in Yavama l'shuk. Machalik samarayim, but zman d'omar, I don't know where we pass it. If kiddushin is typhus and yavam l'shuk, then you can't say that kainis atzma means le'inyin zeh. That if we want to read the Peshu into the Rashi, so we're saying Rashi means is explaining that kainis atzma means that she's not kani to the husband, therefore tfisis kiddushin is possible in it. Niknes means that you can't have Tisus Kedushin in her, because she's already coming to the husband. And Kainas Atma means now she's able to be Linnisus La'achad is Tisus Kedushin in her. By Yavama, that doesn't make sense. By Yavama, there's Tisus Kedushin all along, even before she was Kainas Atma. There's Tisus Kedushin in Yavama Lushuk, at least according to one to some Amorim. And yet it says Kainas Atma, so Kainas Atma can't mean Le'inyin Zeh that she should be able to have Tisus Kedushin. She was never unable to have Tisus Kedushin. Kedushin was always Taifas in her. The Kitzur, Lachara, we're pulling out the rug from under this pshat. The Peshul might be right, and the Svara might be right, but that's why we think of it as Kinyon. But as far as pshat and Rashi is concerned, the Kainas Atma, Lies Peshusa Linozi L'Acha, Rashi can't mean Lies Peshusa that should be Tfises Kiddushin L'Acha. Because by Yavama can't mean that. By Yavama there was anyway Tfises Kiddushin, even before she was Kainas Atma. And the Rashi didn't say anything different over there, presumably over there also Rashi said Lies Peshusa Linozi L'Acha. So what does it mean over there? Linozi L'Acha? She had Tfises Kiddushin all along.
It might not be to the fullest extent, but why do we need to say that the Yeshua and the Ra'ah are saying the same specific thing? I mean, you can say that Rashi is not the Yeshua, but theoretically, according to the Ra'ah, even though there might be Jesus' condition, she's still technically not supposed to wear
Malachi. Well, it's an Echanami. So I think we have to say, but it's already it's a whole different Rashi now. When Rashi means Lias Meshusa Linosel Acha, it does not mean that there should be Tfisus Kiddushin like that there should be a possibility of king. Rashi just means Lias Meshusa Linosel Acha that she's Muteris Linosel Acha. Eisha Niknes that she's Asur Linosel Acha, and that's true of even my Yavam Lashuk. The Nefila Liyavam Asus Lashuk. And Lias and the Kleinis Asa means Lias Meshusa Linosel Acha means Lias Meshusa Lias Muteris Linosel Acha. That's from some of the Pashat of Shatan Rashi. In which case, but we're already out of the world of Pnei Yeshua. We're not talking about the idea of Kinyonim as being exclusive. If it's mine, it can't be yours. But about Yisurim. To some regular Yisurim. So if you want Meshul, because it's an Issa. So if that's the case, so what is Kinyon? What does that do with Kinyon? So I have to say that even though it's Yisurim, we're talking about Yisurim. Aisha Niknes means she's Asur La'am. And Ukainis Atta means she's Utaris La'am. And the same thing by Yavama. She's fallen Le'ibam, she's Asur La'am. And the kindness asking means to become Muteris Lashuk. So what does that do with Kenya? She's sur. No, she becomes a Nidah, she becomes not a Nidah, she becomes a Rachasisha, she becomes a, you know, she becomes, it's Yisurim. What does that have to do with Kenyonim? Well, we were in the world of Yeshua, so I understood. We're talking about the possibility of Kenyan, the possibility of Fisus Kiddushin. That's a Kenyan kind of idea, a Kenyan kind of structure, at least. So we say, oh, we can think of that as a Kenyan. But now we're just talking about Yisurim. So what does that do with Kinyonim? So how do we have to say? Spending a lot of time on stars, but I think how do we have to say is that the Isser of an Ish, the Isser Eishesish is unique. I mean, at least it has a special feature that it's the Rishus of the husband that asks. Somehow we understand that the Isser of an Eishes Ish is because she's B'shus Abam. It's different than other Arayas. Other Arayas, even if it comes about through a marriage, but the Isser is nothing to do with B'shus Abam. In Eishes Achim Moshul is also, even if the brother's dead, outside of the context of Yibam, she's also because there's a certain relationship that makes them also, there's a certain kurva that makes them also. The Isser, right? Well, most Arayas, the reason why she's Osir is because she has a certain kurva to me that makes her Osir. And Eishes doesn't have any kurva to me that makes her Osir. What makes her Osir is that she's B'shus Abam. That's how we think of that. That's how the Torah wants us to think of it. The Dover HaIsser, the Lashon Gemara is the Osla Kulyam Mekhetesh. The Kiddushin is called Kiddushin because the Osla Kulyam Mekhetesh. By Hekhetesh, what makes it Osir? The fact that it belongs to Hekhetesh. So by Eishish, the same thing. What makes her Osir is the fact that she is B'shus Abam. That's the Siba Yisaris. You know, it's Gzeres HaKosov. But the Gzeres HaKosov has a Teichen. The Teichen is that the B'shus Abam asks her Akuliyam. And that's why it's called the Kinyan. Not because it's Mominous, not because she belongs to him. It's Yisurim. But nonetheless, the structure of this Isser is that, in a way, the structure of this Isser is that the Dover HaOiser is the Rishus Abam. So the husband makes an Eremaisa Kinyan, with the Maisa Kinyan, she becomes Rishus HaBaal. L'inyin what? Not L'inyin Mominish, not Mominish Shel HaBaal, not L'inyin, her guf is not. L'inyin Zeh, that she's also L'kul Yama. So what does the Surah have to do with Kinyan? Because that's the way you have to think about it. That with the Kinyan, she goes into the Rishus HaBaal. L'inyin Zeh Gufa. That she's also L'kul Yama. Because being Rishus HaBaal means that she's Rishus HaBaal and she's also L'kul Yama. And the Mikhainis Atzim is, to take off the Isser, what you have to do is, that's the time you make the Isser go away. The way you make the Isser go away is taking her out of the Rishus HaBaal. And if she goes out of the Rishus HaBaal, then the Isser goes away, because that's the definition of the Isser, is that a Isha is a Rishus HaBaal, is that Surah Le'alma. So, just to sum up, so what are we saying so far? We started with the whole slew of Rishonim who say, Eina Isha Mamayna Shel HaBaal, there's no Mabinus in the Kiddushin. They're on Baal Gimel Gittin, they're over here, they're Ashram Davov. There's many other riots to this. There's riots I can't also, we'll see. But it's not a moment, let's say for the time being, it's not a moment as they continue. So in what sense is it a Kenyan? And what does Rashi mean when he says, Kainis Atzim Aliyas B'Shusli Nosil Achet? A related question, because in some sense Rashi is addressing this. It's kindness asma. What does it mean that she's kindness asma? Rashi is telling me what it means. So Rashi, in some sense, is addressing, you know, why is this called a Kinyan? So you have two possibilities. One was based on the Tanya Shua, that maybe it's called the Kinyan because it has this structure that Tefisa's Kiddushin is I don't know what the word for it is. You know, it's exclusive to one person. She is, when a man is Mekadesh a woman, she by definition cannot be Miskadesh to anybody else. He, of course, still can. So that's a structure of Kinyan. And that's why it's called a Kinyan. And maybe that's what Rashi means. But then we ran into problems by Yavama. Or, it's taking a little bit. Not so strong as the Kneshua. It's merely to say, it's called a Kinyan because we have to conceptualize the Isser as coming from the Rishus HaBaal. The Rishus HaBaal, when she's Miskadeshes, so it doesn't get any Yisurim for him, but she is now in the penumbra of the Baal. So that creates Yisurim La'alma. And that's why it's called the Kinyan, because it's there is Rishus HaBaal that in some sense asks Zerach La'alma, and maybe that's what Rashi over here is saying. I want to share with you a different Mahalach from this Rashi. Very radical Mahalach from this Rashi. It's four words in Rashi, but very, very radical. Look, this is from, not mine, I've heard this from Rav Yigal Rosen, Rav Shiva Neretz Yisrael. I think Rav Shiva Neretz Yisrael. Whom I never met, but I just heard the shira. I just heard the shira recorded. I quoted him in the past. He has a very nice shira. I have a lot of times I listen to him and I like him. He says he's a very mechudish tikkun. It's a whole new take on this rashi. The kindness asma liyis b'shus li nasi lacha. He has a diuk. I don't know if it is a diuk. Not a diuk. He has a diuk. Why did Rashi say liyis b'shusuli nosi lache? Nesuin is chuppah. L'chora, what Rashi should have said is liyis b'shusuli liyis kaddish lache. You know, if you learn that Rashi is saying the play is sure, then it's especially acute, the question. The whole idea is tefisas kiddushin. She's married to Reuven, so there's no tefisas kiddushin to Shimon. So she should say, Rashi should have said liyis kaddish lache. The second way that we said that Rashi means Isurim, the Isser Lihinos, Liyas Beshusa, that she's Muteras Lihinos Ilacha. So it's not quite as acute. You know? Don't make Isurim. So the real Isser Rashi is when they actually live together. So maybe that's where Rashi talks about Lihinos Ilacha. But that component, that's his deep. Why did Rashi say Liyas Beshusa Lihinos Ilacha and not Liyas Kadish Lacha? And he has the same deal, and here already maybe it's even more of a deal. It's more of a deal, and Dav Zion. More in the bottom of the Zion talks about. The person was Mekadesh, it says like this, that if a man is Mekadesh, a chatzi isho, she's not Mekadesh. He says, I'm marrying half of you, so ain't Mekadesh. But if he says half of me is marrying you, then she is Mekadesh. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? Because when he says half of me is marrying you, so what he means to say is that I can still marry somebody else. That's okay. But if he says I'm marrying half of you, then he means to say, but you could still marry somebody else. That's what it means. I'm marrying half of you, meaning I'm leaving the other half free to marry somebody else. And that's the impossible. So maybe let's read the Kiddushin that type. Okay, that's the sugya of it. So Rashi Lashon is, we might say Ishul Beitrei Lechazio. So the Lashon of Rashi is, Itzel beitrei. So Rashi says, "Ishel beitrei loy chazio." Says Rashi, "Itzel beitrei lihi nasi lehem iesher." She can't be niseis to two people. So meila the chetzich mekadesh doesn't make any sense. So get really nasi lehem. Lis harishta. We're talking kiddushin. We're saying it doesn't make sense in the kaddish chatz isha because that kiddush would imply that there's another person in the kaddish the other half. And itzel beitrei loy chazio. No, so we're not in kiddushin. Why are you talking about nasi? Again, I'm not sure if this is a dig that you know the world has to go under for. Kubili Nasi is a general expression. But I'm telling you what he says for what it's worth. We'll have to see later. It may be a project to decide if he's right. But this is a deal. So he wants to say Pshat and Lisrashi, a humble take. He says he thinks the Pshat of here is. And what's the Kinyan of Kiddush and Taka? Karma. What makes it a Kenyan? It's Yisurim, so what makes it a Kenyan? The Yisurim are a result, perhaps, of the Kenyan, but Le'inyan, what is she coming to the husband? What is the content of this Kenyan? Which is what we're grappling with. It's not Mominus. It's only Yisurim, so Yisurim is not a Kenyan. So we have already possibilities today. Sure, it has the structure of a Kenyan. His Rishus Asus are Kulialma, so that's also, we conceptualize it as a Kenyan. He says, Lemaisa, it's not a Kenyan. A Kenyan means that the husband gets a certain schus. Something, schusim, rights, something. Where's the kinyan in kiddushin? What is he kind of? So he says he thinks what he's kind of is the schus to marry her, to be machus of the chuppah. That's the content of the kiddushin. He's kind of the schus to be machus of the chuppah. The Inyan, so the muscle. He says theoretically, once he's kind of with Gilushin, he really should be able to be kaifer to the chuppah. He said that won't work because chuppah and you need her das, so it hasn't going to work. But he said, but he certainly has a right, and that's very impressive work, that once he's in the Kavashir, he has a right to go to Basin, and that Basin should be kaifer to be nichnas of the chuppah. Or take a get, whatever, but. Or maybe not. I don't know if she has a right even to demand the get in such a circumstance. If he was Makadosher, so she gets Yud Beis Chodesh to prepare the wedding, but the Soif Yud Beis Chodesh, she can go to Beis and say, look, I was Makadosher, she has to come to the Chuppah. So where did that come from? He says, that comes from the Kenyan of the Kiddushin. That's exactly the content of the Kenyan. The Kenyan is that he bought the right to be Machnas of the Chuppah. All of the Surim are Tetzois. But the content of the Kenyan itself, what makes it a Kenyan, what's the bias that he gets? He says Itaka has a bias. The bias that he gets is that he has a right to be, he owns the bias on her Knesset L'chuppah. He can now be kaifer her to be Nechnes L'chuppah. That's already a Kenyan. If something gives me a right to be kaifer you to do something, it's a Kenyan. So he has a Kenyan, he's kaifer the right to be kaifer, to be Nechnes L'chuppah, to be Nechnes L'chuppah Yimah, to be Nechnes L'chuppah Yimah. Hold on a second. And then what's Kainas Atzma? Kainas Atzma is that she acquires back the right to be Machnes, to be Nichneses L'chuppah with anybody she jolly well wants. We'll see in a second, we'll take this to a certain place, but just right now, just to step to, I wanted to see Mizakim on. The Rashi, the Deek and Rashi is, what makes this very striking, this chapter, is that it turns, the Rashi now reads totally different. The Pashup Shat, you read the Rashi, the Kainas Atzma reads Peshusli Nosi L'Achai. So the Rashi is it's a two-sided coin. She's Nikneis L'Baila, and now she's Kainas Atzma. So Rashi is explaining the Kainas Atzma. We have to infer from here, what does it mean that she was Nikneis in the first place? So the Pashup Shat, when we read the Rashi, that she's Kainas Atzma Lies Peshusli Nosi L'Achai, meaning, L'chadchila she was nicknamed to the Baal, and you know what? That she was Asurli Nosi L'Acher. And now she's Kainas Atzma, that she's Muteris Li Nosi L'Acher. That's how we've been reading the Rashi along. Or with the Neshua, that before she was nicknamed to the Baal, she wasn't able to be Nisis L'Acher, and now she's Kainas Atzma, that she's able to be Nisis L'Acher. Variation on the theme. But that was the structure of Rashi. She's Kainas Atzma, that she can be Nisis L'Acher, because originally she was nicknamed to the Baal, that she's not able to be Nisis L'Acher. the way Rav Rosen is reading this Rashi, that's not the way to read the Rashi at all. The diak in Rashi is she's the other half of the Rashi is she's kainis asma liyis b'shusa lihinasi la'acher. When she was nignis to the Baal, she was liyis she was nignis she was b'shusa Baal lihinasi la'Baal. That's the two sides. Aisha nignis la'Baal. That means the husband the Baal is kain her that she now is that he can be kaifer to be nisas loy. Not talking about whether she was lacha. That's Yisur. We're not talking about Yisur. We're talking about what's the kinyan. The kinyan is that she now has to be Nisislai. He has a right to be kaifer to be Nisislai. And now she's kainis asma that liyis b'shusa that now she can be nisus whoever she wants. So she now knows he owns with the kinyan. He owns the schus and to be machner su l'chuppah. Now she can't give it. Now she can't. She can't be. She, nobody else can be kind of that. Now she's b'shusa so that she could be nisus to anybody she wants. Because now she has a right to be nichneses. She gets back the prerogative to be nisus to whomever she wants. And Rav Zayin also is very geshmak the Rashi. Says isel beitrei lechazi. Why is isel beitrei lechazi? Why can't two people have tfisus kedusha in a woman? But it's highly correct. The reason why two people can't have tefisas, well, the real reason is the time of cars. Eslod and Wire asked him to say it's chayvei cars, but he's saying that what he's reading the Rashi is that the reason why you can't have itzel beitrei lechazia is because kiddushin means a right to be machnas or lechuppah, and two people can't be mekadosher. Because if two people were Mekadosher, it would mean that they both have a right to be Machnes or L'chuppah, and she can't be Nechnes or L'chuppah to two people. And that's what Rashi means, Lehinos L'Ene Yashin. You can't have two people be Mekadosher, you can't be Mekadosher half a woman, and now you're going to be leave over room for somebody else to Mekadosher the other half, because that would mean that you have a right to be Machnes or L'chuppah, and the other person could still be kind of a right to be Machnes or L'chuppah. And maybe Mitzav Kinyan, maybe that would be conceivable, but it's not conceivable because it would mean that she's going to be Nechnes or L'chuppah to two people. And you can't have her nichnes l'chuppah to two people. I mean, mainly you can't have two people being mekadosh. Anyway, that's his issue. That's his book. He wants to use this also to explain. Again, Comer, I don't know if he's right or wrong, but it's very fascinating. This book. It's like from left field. It's a whole new take on the kinyan of kiddushin. That the ikar content of the kinyan of kiddushin is not the isser. Actually, we learned in the Rashi at least that the Ikka issues, the Ikka Kinyan is that it creates Yisurim. She's Nechnes the Shusha, that there's Yisurim, that there's Yisurim to other people. And he's saying that's not the Kinyan. That's the Tetzov. That's not the content of the Kinyan. So, what is the content of the Kinyan? The content of the Kinyan is that he's kind of right in Machnes Luchot. Very, very Machotish. He wants to use it to shed light on a Rambam also. The Rambam, famous Rambam, beginning of the Chazishos, the Rambam says that Koyna Matan Torah. This Rambam is prefaced the whole idea of kiddushin. The Rambam says, "Koyda matan Torah, the person would pagedi shuvah shulta, and rotsahu v'rotsahi, and they would move in together, and they would be man and wife, and that was marriage. And then after matan Torah was given, so there was nishad shalocha that it's also to marry a woman without it making a kinyan before, and that's called kiddushin." And the Rambam goes on and says, "Likuchum elu mitzvah shel Torah." It's a mitzvah deraisa to do this likuchum of kiddushin. So the Rambam, there's a lot. This is an important Rambam to reference all of. You know, this is a Rambam that we just have to have in our pockets. You know, what does the Rambam want? That's the double posture. The Rambam wasn't telling me halachas of benayach. You know, koyde matan Torah. What's in again now? Koyde matan Torah for benayach. So that's in chiz malachim. The Rambam has halachas of benayach. Chayil pshat in the Rambam is the Rambam is saying this posture pshat. The Rambam is saying that nisuin by Yisrael is no different than by benayach. That didn't change. The concept of Nisuin is the intuitive concept of marriage that you have around the world. Around the world, marriage is a universal idea. And maybe some tribe somewhere doesn't know about marriage, but the whole world knows about marriage. She says, Nisuin is marriage. We know what marriage is. The chiddush of Matan Torah is that before Nisuin, you have to have kinyan. That's already a double chiddush that the Torah is in fact. And that kinyan is l'kuchen el mitzvah shel Torah. So the Rambam is explaining to me, you know, Nisuin, you're saying Nisuin is what you think marriage is. Nisuin is the regular marriage, the regular idea of marriage, universal idea of marriage. And then there's a new concept of kinyan. The Torah gave a mitzvah that before the chuppah there should be a kinyan. It's telling this bakish in the Rambam, but what's the kinyan? The Rambam is telling me over here, I'm just not just telling me the rules how to go, you know, that's the handbook. The Rambam is telling me the idea of what kiddushin is. He says, Nisuin is what we have called the matan Torah. And now there's a new concept, you have to do a kinyan beforehand, and that kinyan is a mitzvah shel Torah. So it is like, in a way, it's chaser in the Rambam, but what is he kind of? Like, the Rambam is very misbackish, but what exactly is the kind of? Like, of course, it's misbackish everywhere, but the Rambam seems to be trying to tell me that. The Rambam is trying to tell me what kiddushin means. Like, that's the whole ring of the Rambam. The Rambam is explaining to me kiddushin. There was a kind of matan Torah kind of marriage, and now there was a mechadish before that you have to have a kinyan, v'l'kucham eila mitzvah shel Torahim. So it's like a big hole in the Rambam. But what is the kinyan? The Rambam doesn't say it makes Yisur, but it says you have to have a kinyan, kaidim shi'isa ena. What kinyan? Kind of what? Yeah, also, maybe we don't have to worry about it. Maybe it's not a kasha. But he wants to say, with this word of his, he wants to say that the Rambam now is very gishmak. The Rambam says there's a concept of marriage and you don't have to have a kinyan before him. But the Torah is mechadish, shachar matan Torah, that before you go to the marriage, you have to be kinder. And what are you kinder? You're kinder the right to have the marriage. You know, we don't have to be machnas, new musogim from the outside. There's a concept of the marriage. So the kinder matan Torah, so rotzi, they move in and they marry. But after matan Torah is mechadish, that the marriage itself has to have a kinyan. And what's the kinyan? The kinyan is on the marriage. He's kinder she'isa'ena. He's kind of the bailus and the right to marry. It reads very well, you know, it's geschmack in the Rambam. Whether, again, I don't know if this whole word is true. If it's not true, in right, I don't know. It's not my word. I'm not committed to it. But it's very, very fascinating. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see as we go along if there's a... We'll see how it goes. Okay, before we stop, I want to tell you a Rambam. Up till now, we've been saying, the Ramban, the Rashba, Chaimashmois and Rashi maybe, is that even though the Gemara talks about Isha Niknes, but it's not a momentistic kinyan. And the husband doesn't have any momentistic kinyan with the wife, and like the Rishayim say, Eina Isha Meloina Shalaba. There is a Rambam in the dorm, Perek Tess, I think. Perek Yud Beis. It says that if a man was madir his wife and ados tashmish, so the neder is not chal. Likewise, if a wife is madir her husband and ados tashmish, so the neder is also not chal. So other Rishonim, the Rashba over there in the Dorim, the Ritva, They write that it's symmetrical because they're meshubed. Since the husband is meshubed to his wife with Mrs. Hayim, and the wife is meshubed to the husband for Tashmish also because, even though she doesn't have Mrs. Hayim, but Amanaske Nisu, when they got married, that's the understanding that they don't have a normal married life. So Mela, they're meshubed Zelazem. So Mela, she can't be Mavkila Shibud with an Eden. The Rambam says differently. The Rambam says, doesn't say it symmetrically. The Rambam says, "Ha'isha she'omer le'bailo hanos tashmishi yasur alecha, ain't zorech la'ofer." Neder is nothing. Says the Rambam, "Holamazed doime la'oiser peiros chaveroy al bala peiros." It's like I ask your peiros on you. They're not my peiros to ask. The hanos tashmish is not hers to ask. It belongs to the husband. V'chein hu she'omer lo hanos tashmishi yasur alecha, if it's the other way around, so also lo yomer klum, the net is no good. Neishu mishubed lo b'shek sus ha'ino, because he has a mitzvah zayino. So the mitzvah zayino doesn't allow the shidu, the net to take place. So the Rambam is not symmetric. The Rambam says he can't be mad at her by nos tashmish, because he has a shivud mitzvah zayino. She can't be mad at him in mitzvah tashmish, because it doesn't belong to her in the first place, it belongs to him. The Pshuta, it says in this Rambam, that the husband has a bailus and the hanos tashmish of the wife. And that's why she can't be madir in it, because when they got married, he became a bailum and the hanos tashmish. It's not hers, not a hasim. L'chayre, that's already a mamonistic akinin. I don't see a way out. That's a mamonistic akinin. Something you can be madir b'hano is a mamonist. I have a right in a certain hano that you can't be madir it because it belongs to me. That's a mamonistic eschus that I have. I'm not even taking question that because it's double poshut. You understand that this, sorry, that's a double poshut, that's a mamonist. The moment doesn't have to be a physical object. It's a moment. If I have a right to your to sit in the shade of your tree, that's a schus moment. If I buy the right to sit in the shade of your tree, it's a schus moment. You can't be mad at me because it belongs to me. If I have that moment. So it would seem that the Rambam holds that there really is. In the kinyan over here, there really is a mamonistic element that the husband actually acquires. That's all true, but nonetheless, there is some mamonist that the husband acquires. Namely, he acquires a bailus and anos tashmish. That's what it says. He has a shibud to her also, but she doesn't have any shibudim to him. But he has a bailus and anos tashmish. That's what it says in Rambam. So the Chayyim may ask from the Beferish Gemara. Gemara says in Gittin, a little complicated Gemara, we're not going to go into it today. Tomorrow maybe we'll talk about that Gemara a little bit. You want to ask, so give it, just put the Gemara to know and it might be useful later. But the Gemara Bekitzer says in Gittin that a get isha is isur of alayim emayno. It's keres iser. There's no mamonis that has to be nechas. The naftamina is, the Gemara is talking about a case where somebody was mafkir and evikinayin. So the Gemara is a shayla that you still need to get, because there's no mamonis anymore. He was mafkir all the mamonis. So the Gemara says, well, we learn out from Isha, lolo Isha, that even if there's no mamonis, there's just isurim, you still have to have a get. And then the Gemara says, but it has to be a difference like Isha, just like an Isha's isur of a loy memayna, so to this kind of get, it only be clear is there and not moment. Indian, what? You have to see the sugar there. What's the nakamina? Not such a. I don't want to get involved in that. For right now, what's important, and really what's for our purpose, the main thing that's important. But I do want to talk about that sugar a little bit, just because I think it's a sugar that'll be useful for us, or might be useful. It's an investment. So we're going to spend 15 minutes tomorrow, looking at it, just talking through the Gemara over there and get. But I'm complaining right now. What I want to point out is the Gemara does say that a get isha is kairis isur of alayim emayna. And therefore anything that you're learning out from get isha, namely a get shikhar in certain cases, or maybe misis ha'odmi, whatever it is, whatever things we're going to learn out from extrapolate from the hekesh, from lolam isha, from get isha, they're going to be like get isha, that they're only kairis isur, but they're not kairis mam. That's the line over there. Kair the fila ramen, is that true? There's a mominess in a marriage as well. Namely, the husband has a bailus and the nos tashmish. And the get isha is kairis, everything else too, certainly kairis isura, but it's also kairis. There is that one element of mamonis that she can't be mad at him in the nos tashmish. She has a bailus and a nos tashmish. That's a mamonis. So get isha is kairis mamon. So that's the shaila in the realm. I'm bringing it up now because it has to do with the concept, with obviously it bears in this notion that we're talking, at least, you know, by way of preface to the Masechta, but what exactly is the kinyan over here? Up to now we saw the whole shiur that it's basically Yisurim. Tfisas Kiddushin, Yisurim. We had Rav Igal Rosen's take on Rashi, that it's a right to be Machnas of the Chuppah. Okay, that's already more than Yisurim. I'm not sure that you could categorize that as Momenus. But now we have a Rambam that is Mamash Yipashat to Momenus. He's a Bailam and the Nos Tashmash. So Chayiz, but it's against the Beferish Yigumar. The Achayinim asked this. Chayiz, it's a Beferish Yigumar. That there's no mominess in Kiddush. Because you see a get is kairis yisur, the lemon lemon. Okay, we'll leave that for tomorrow. Tomorrow, Mr. Shem, I want to spend, you know, I want to talk about the more written and address this problem a little bit. And then we're going to go to the finish your ashes and go to the places. In the first places, I'm not going to spend, I'm not going to do. Do that on your own. But the places, Beshame and the Kippur. That's on the agenda. I really just deal with the one moment. Could be the